Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos. It's time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, my friend, what's good?
My man, what is up? I am good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to our friends over at Locked On Chiefs. But first, understand, please, Locked On Broncos isn't here to just report the news. We're here to give you a more in-depth analytical look at your favorite team, the Denver Broncos. So be sure to tell your friends about the show. Share the episodes on social media. That helps us out a ton and help us blow this thing up because we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on the Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. Luke and I are sick. We're maniacal about Broncos football, just as you, our listeners, are. Now, follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. And I want to throw a shout out. We've been talking about this early in the show this week, following at Locked On Broncos. You guys have responded. We've seen a swell there, but please keep it going. If you haven't yet, take a quick second. Follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Very important to growing the show. Now, of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher because with only two games left on the schedule, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. And now we are stoked to be joined by Chris Clark and Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs, our brothers across the division on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, what's good?
Not the offenses. Offense. Neither of these offenses. What's up, Bronco Nation?
Yeah, we feel your pain. You know, we have a huge game on deck this week. Of course, the Broncos are sitting at 8-6. They got a tough road matchup here to Arrowhead, doing battle. Kansas City Chiefs sitting at 10-4. Guys, right now the Chiefs are virtual locks to make the playoffs with 538.com giving them a 99% chance. Of course. Chris, let me start with you. Tell us what the feeling is overall in Kansas City after that disappointing last-second loss to the Tennessee Titans.
They're going to find a way to be in that 1%.
Really?
I hate to be pessimistic, but I think that's really the feel of a lot of fans right now. I don't know that that's what I feel. I think Kansas City ends up winning the last two games, and they'll be fine. I still think Oakland's going to lose one of the last two games they have on their schedule, and I think that Denver has a good chance of beating them, mainly because your defense is so good, and Carr really struggles in the cold, and it's going to be cold in Denver on the 1st of January.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'm a lot more optimistic about the Broncos beating Oakland at home than I am right now anyway. With them beating the Chiefs on the road. But, Ryan, Broncos fans right now, after what happened a few weeks ago, fully aware of wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Tell me this, though. After averaging, I ran the numbers, almost 8 targets in the 6 games leading up to last week's loss to Tennessee, Hill received just 3 from Alex Smith, none of which were completed. And, of course, he had that 68-yard touchdown, which was a rushing play. But what was the story behind Smith going away from what, at least from the outside looking in, is the most dynamic player the Chiefs have on offense?
Well, the true story of it isn't so much Smith. Smith took a couple of real nice shots in his direction. One that was almost a mirror image of the long touchdown he scored the week before against the Raiders, nearly splitting the trail technique corner versus that deep safety. And I believe it was a shell too. And he just couldn't connect with him. What ended up happening is I think Andy Reid is of late just trying to get through games with a win. And to tell you the truth, after they got up 14 points last week, he basically shut the offense down and didn't take any more shots, started running bubble screens, started running the ball, unfortunately, not well. And I think what got lost in the mix was Tariq Hill, because he still has that ability to get behind the defense. But having already scored that game and kind of checked the box that, okay, I got Tariq, his touch, we'll go from here. He started spreading the ball around, and I think that was more the coaching decisions and the play call than it was Smith not really wanting to go to Hill.
Yeah, and I think that kind of leads into my question here. But, in Denver right now, I think it's safe to say we pretty much understand the frustrations with the head coach. So, Chris, tell me about Andy Reid. This is something we've seen with him throughout the years, is once he gets ahead a couple times, a couple scores up, he starts to kind of play not to lose the game as opposed to playing to win the game. Obviously the big kicker this week, so to speak, was the field goal from Ryan Succop to win the game, icing the kicker, some other questionable decisions this week. What's the mood like in Kansas City this week about, Andy Reid?
I would say it depends on who you ask. I've been very verbal about the fact that I think that Andy Reid needs to basically turn over play calling duties to Alex Smith at times, because I think that he gets to a point in the game where he says, okay, we're here, we need to be here, I'm not going to take any more chances, and we're going to basically just try to do as little as we possibly can, and we'll save it all for a rainy day or the playoffs. Problem is he basically just gave up home field advantage, or not home field advantage, but having a first round bye and being the number two seed in the playoffs by doing that game plan. And, I don't understand how he didn't learn, because two games in a row against Atlanta and against Oakland, he basically did the same thing. They get up early and then they just try to coast. You can't do that when you play a team like New England in the playoffs. You can't do that against a Pittsburgh. You may be able to get away with it, for some teams. I can't believe they got away with it in Atlanta. But their defense made plays. And so I really think that they just need to go back to what is working. I mean, you watch Kansas City in that game, and right after halftime, Kansas City's still up, and they come out and they move the ball all the way down the field, throwing the ball. And I'm not talking deep throws, but somewhat, between 6 and 15 yards usually is the depth of target. And then all of a sudden you get inside the 10 and you go to 3 straight runs. Or 3 runs out of 4 plays. There's just no consistency. And you go run to against a team that has one of the best rushing defenses in the NFL, and you run to the weak side of your offensive line as opposed to the strong side of your offensive line. He really needs to work on and maybe just letting the play calling go. I would love to see that. I would love to see another offensive coordinator. The problem that I come to on that whole situation is he has games like the game against New England a couple of years ago where he just obliterated Bill Belichick. He has that ability. But until he does that on a consistent basis, he needs to go for the throat and not hold back.
Travis Kelce, Marcus Peters, Eric Berry, Tyreek Hill, all 4 Chiefs players made the Pro Bowl roster this year. Ryan, kind of walk me through these 4 players. Tell me about the impact that they made on the roster here. Of course, knowing that it being the Pro Bowl, by the time the Pro Bowl rolls around, probably another 10 players from the Chiefs will have joined them due to players dropping out.
Well, there's going to be a lot of dropouts, and depending on how the postseason goes, there could be a number of Chiefs as well as a number of Broncos, especially from the defensive side of the ball. This division across the board.
The Chiefs won't be able to play in the Pro Bowl. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Sorry. Well said. The thing is this
the
division
joke we're all making.
This division's defenses are pretty stout, at least for the most part. And I'll even give the Chargers some credit. They have some nice players on that team as well. And so you can really draw from anywhere across this division if you need somebody to step into that role. As far as the guys that made it, each of them has had a slightly different process. Travis Kelce's been almost irritatingly stop and go. I think a little bit from himself, a little bit from Reed's calling. Marcus Peters has really evolved to the point where he's not getting the targets that he was getting when he led the league in targets last season. Not taking away half the field, but he's definitely putting a damper on folks trying to pass to their right side of their offensive formation because he's just out there waiting. And we've seen quarterbacks start to duck away from him. You know, Barry is Barry. The difference in Eric Berry this year is he's still as intimidating. He's still the leader, but now he's gotten to the point where I think it has something to do with the contract situation, that he's a little more willing to take some risks when he's playing deep coverage. And that's when you've seen him make some of these more splash plays. And honestly, I've never seen him run the ball back on interceptions better than this season.
Good stuff, guys. Hey, got a couple more questions here that we want to talk about. But real quick, let me just back up for a second. I want to talk about SeatGeek, because here we are talking Broncos Chiefs week 16. You know, all the chips are down, and the Broncos, they're facing some, so it's must win. I mean, they have to win both to even have a decent shot at the playoffs. They don't control their destiny, as we've talked about, but they got to win them both. And if you want to see them, either one of these games, SeatGeek is the easiest way to get tickets. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to buy tickets, and that can be an ordeal. With SeatGeek, I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find the seats that I'm looking for, whether it's a game this weekend or even down the road. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they go out and price compare for you. They search multiple ticket sites, and you know that prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek is always going to find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, and this time of year, that's important. Every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, which allows you to immediately see any underpriced seats, and you can find the best deals that are going to fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with confidence and peace of mind. Best of all, Locked On Broncos listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get that $20 sent back to you as a rebate, here's what you do. First off, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, then you're going to want to enter promo code LO Broncos. Then SeatGeek will send you 20 American dollars after you've made your first purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LO Broncos today. Now, the feeling in Denver right now is that after back-to-back losses and a couple of what we perceive to be must-win games, you know, there's a concern that the Broncos have mailed it in for the season. Not everyone believes that, but it's kind of the general sentiment. The Broncos, of course, lost control of their playoff destiny, and they now sit with a 17% chance to make the playoffs, according to 538.com. For you guys, going into this game, and Chris, I'll ask you, how confident are the Chiefs in this game? Or maybe, you know, with a team that still has a shot at the tournament, the Broncos, how concerned are the Chiefs about Denver coming into this one?
I don't think they're going to be overlooking Denver at all. I think they are going to be able to look back at what that game was a couple of weeks ago and see they can't overlook Denver. I think Kansas City's confident. I don't think that this last game shook their confidence at all. I'm not going to say that Tennessee is a team that they shouldn't have beat. They should have. They played down to their competition in my mind, and I think Kansas City's a better team than Tennessee. But you know, what it really comes down to for me is I think Kansas City is going to come out and they're going to be focused. They seem to be very focused when it comes to playing the Denver Broncos, especially on defense. I think the offense is going to be there because, you know, Alex Smith saw that he can actually move the ball on the Broncos. And I know they were maybe in a little bit more of a prevent in the fourth quarter and in the second or in the overtime, but he saw he can move the ball a little bit, and they've got weapons that they can use. I mean, Travis Kelce's a guy that they're going to have a hard time covering, and good luck covering Tyreek Hill as well.
One more, and then a prediction, of course, from you guys. This one comes from a listener, at 3GravyCats, asks, what does it take before the Chiefs move on from Alex Smith? And let me couch this by saying, just based on this fella's Twitter profile, I'm relatively certain he's a Chiefs fan. The name is actually Chiefly Bacon.
I think the only thing that's going to run Alex Smith out of this town is if they were to either fail to make the playoffs or go out in the first round with an abysmal performance on his part.
Yeah, I can't see Alex Smith being gone. I think Andy Reid needs to figure out his issues before they need to get rid of Alex Smith. Alex Smith is the quarterback that's going to be there and starting next year. They don't need to go and draft somebody or try to bring somebody in and learn the offense all brand new this year. I think that that's going to be the way they go. I think they may move on after 17 if they can draft somebody. But, you know, the question is who are they going to be able to draft this year? So I think he's the quarterback for 17. And if Andy Reid actually gives him the ability to call audibles and actually run the offense and maybe run more of a hurry up offense, I think the offense would look a lot better and people wouldn't be asking that question.
There you have it, Chiefly Bacon. Last question, guys, prediction time, big game in the AFC West. This is one that both teams have had circled on the schedule for the entire season. Who do you got winning and what's your score?
I really see it as a 1-point game. There's just something about these two teams, even though it seems like on paper that you should have probably a sizable advantage. I just don't know. The Broncos have had their number in certain positions. You know, those receivers are still dangerous in terms of what the Chiefs defense is ready to face. I still see it as pretty close. I think maybe the Broncos defense has to score to do it, but I see it somewhere around 21-20. Chiefs.
Chris?
I'm going Kansas City. I will go. I think the offense gets a little bit more on track this week. I think they're going to try to open things up because I think that that last game left a real bitter taste in their mouth. I'm going to go 24-17 Kansas City.
Right on, guys. Well, we appreciate you joining the show. As always, everyone, especially this week, go check out Locked On Chiefs. They have a great show. Ryan and Chris, thanks for joining us, fellas. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Again, big thanks to Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark. Go check out Locked On Chiefs this week. Find them on Twitter, at Locked On Chiefs. Of course, you can find Luke as well in the Twitterverse, at Luke Polglaze, and myself, at Chad and Jensen. We do want to hear from you. Hit us up. We love the engagement. Also, check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL. Right now, as we're getting toward the end of the season, you're going to want to check out Locked On Draft. Excuse me. So check those out. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Broncos-Chiefs game, talk about the keys to victory, predict the game on our end. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.